yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Insight Wednesday, May the 16th in the year of our Lord 2018. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. Yesterday I had with me Mark Smith, tomorrow Wes Reimnitz, but today I'm all by myself. And I had requested that if you had a question to send me an email and I would make them the priority. And so I've got emails in my hand, and let's start off with the first one. Question for you. As Lutherans, we give all credit for our faith to God who works through the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a good beginning of an email, especially on this Pentecost Sunday coming up. Faith is not from our own works. Our faith is a gift from God. So suppose someone has been baptized, but they are drawn to God. They diligently read the Bible, and they believe in the triune God. So I suppose the Holy Spirit came to this person even without being baptized. So he's talking about someone who has not been baptized. And I would expect this person will want to be baptized. But is baptism necessary for this person's salvation? Okay, that's the first part, and I want to answer that first. Baptism is not necessary for a person's salvation, or else nobody in the whole Old Testament would have been saved. What is necessary? Faith. But what is faith? Faith always has an object. When you say, I believe, people are going to look at you and say, what do you mean you believe? What do you believe? And it is always going to be something that you believe is true. And many a time it's because someone has given you a promise. I believe that my friend will meet me at the restaurant this afternoon at 1 o'clock because he said he would be there. Faith's object are the promises of God. So when somebody comes to faith, they already believe the promises of God, like Abraham. Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He was not baptized. Even when baptism was available, people still came to faith prior to baptism. I'm thinking of the Ethiopian eunuch on that road reading the book of Isaiah. Philip came up to him and explained that what he was reading about was Jesus. And what did he say? Well, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? He had come to faith hearing the word of God. That's, by the way, a passage right out of Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So why did God institute baptism if a person can come to faith just by hearing the word of God? Well, both baptism and the Lord's Supper are called sacraments, which means holy things. And God has put them into place to provide us with an assurance of salvation apart from our having to rely on our faith. Well, whoever relies on faith, oh, how many times have I heard this? I'll say to a Christian, you're a believer, right? Oh, yes. Do you think you're going to heaven? Yes, I do. Why? Because I believe. See, that's almost a false teaching, faith in faith. No, you're not going to heaven because you believe. You're going to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for you. You're going to heaven because you received the gift of the forgiveness of sins. But how do you know that? One could look to their faith, knowing that God has made a promise, and therefore they believe and heaven is their home. But how many people do I run into where their faith is weak, or it's kind of like a roller coaster, up and down? Sometimes they're strong, sometimes they're not. When they sin, they think they don't have faith, and so they lose the assurance of their salvation. So is baptism necessary for a person's salvation? And the answer is absolutely no. Another good example would be the thief on the cross. Remember when you come into your kingdom, I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Oh, do I need to go get baptized first? Nope. Baptism, the Pentecost baptism, hadn't even yet occurred. That wasn't to come until the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the crucifixion. So baptism is not necessary for a person's salvation. Let me give you an analogy you could probably use. Is it necessary for an adopted child to eat food in order to be adopted? And the answer is no. No, you can be adopted before you've even had a meal from your adopted parents. But whoever would adopt a child and not feed them? So eating at dinner becomes a sign that these are truly your parents. They don't bring you into the family and say, okay, we're going to be eating at 5 o'clock. I hope you find some food and maybe make it on the stove and et cetera, et cetera. No, they feed you. They clothe you. They take you to school. They provide you with a bed. All kinds of things parents do. But none of them make you the child. The child you became at the moment of your adoption. So at the moment that a person comes to faith, guess what? They are saved. And baptism, therefore, now gives them a visible assurance, because in being baptized, here's what Peter says, Acts chapter 2, when you're baptized, you receive two gifts, the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he had paid for the sins of the whole world. So the question often arises, well, if that's what you Lutherans teach, how come everybody isn't saved? Because you are not saved because your sins have been forgiven, but because through faith you have received the gift of the forgiveness of sins. Oh, you want an analogy? That's one I've used often. You really get to dislike your parents. Maybe they're mean to you. Maybe they abuse you. You leave home as soon as you can. And 20 years after you've left them, never visited them, you hear your father has died and he has left you in his will $50,000. But you need to attend the reading of the will to get that. But you so hate your father that you refuse to come to the reading of the will. Is that $50,000 your money? Yes, it is. Did you ever receive it? No, you didn't, because you did not meet the requirement that your father had, that is, to come to the reading of the will. In the same way, are the sins of every person forgiven? And what we mean by that, has Jesus' death been sufficient to pay the price for every person's sin? The answer is yes. Then why doesn't every person go to heaven? Because they refuse to receive that gift. They don't believe it. They don't think they need it. They think they're better. So that's my first answer as to why it's not necessary to be baptized. But like the Ethiopian eunuch, who would not want to be baptized when they come to faith in Jesus Christ? Unless they're in a denomination that does not teach baptism and the Lord's Supper as sacraments of God, ways in which God attaches promises to your salvation. All right, a next point asked. Suppose someone has been baptized, but they grow up to be an atheist. Is this person condemned? Now, my answer to that would be yes. Because an atheist means he no longer believes in God. Well, you may ask, what happened to the Holy Spirit? In fact, that's the next part of the question. When a person is baptized, they are to receive forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But in the case when a baptized child becomes an atheist, what happened to the Holy Spirit? Jesus talks about one sin that is unforgivable, and it's the sin of unbelief. No longer believing what the Holy Spirit has said is the Word of God. Now, I know why the question is there. If baptism is an assurance of salvation, and you're dependent on the promises of baptism, how then can somebody fall from the faith unless God doesn't keep his promise? Well, the answer is quite simple. And I'm going to use the analogy of adoption. When a child gets adopted, is there ever a way in which that child can annul the adoption? And believe it or not, there is. When a child reaches an age of accountability, and in Missouri I think it's 18 years old, he can go back to court and say he no longer wants to be considered as an adopted child of his parents, for whatever reason. And the court will make a ruling. If the court rules in his favor, then what does the child lose? He loses all the inheritance rights. And so we do not believe, like Calvinists do, once saved, always saved. No. No, there are too many warnings in the Bible, too many examples of people who were believers who fell from the faith, that you just simply can't say that. And you're really trusting, therefore, not in Christ and the cross, but in some theological nonsense that once you are saved, you can't be unsaved. That's like saying once you're adopted, there's no way you can break that adoption. Yes, you can. Because you can get to a point where you so hate your parents for whatever reason that you no longer want to be affiliated with them as their child. You go to court and annul the adoption. And that's what happens to a baptized person who falls from the faith. Well, we're going to really be talking a little bit more about that tomorrow with Wes Reinitz, because there is no doubt there's been a huge shift in our culture against Christianity. And you parents who have children, you need to be aware of what they are coming up against and prepare them properly so that they can fight against the wiles of the devil. We're going to explain that a lot more. It's a much different fight than had 30 years ago. I mean, what public school teacher 30 years ago was telling your children that, you know, if you are male and want to marry another man, that's no problem. I mean, nobody was saying those things. And there has been a real shift in the culture away from Christian morality to what's called secular morality. But we're going to talk about that a lot more tomorrow. And the very important facet, particularly in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, for parochial schools. No doubt about this. Okay. Another email. It's really helpful to hear about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit and how everything that Jesus said or did can be found in the Old Testament. Now, that was the point I made on Monday. And that's why Jesus probably had a lengthy Bible study with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, because they were totally confused. They knew he had died, didn't know why. They had heard he had risen from the dead, and that was really frustrating to them. They couldn't figure any of this out. So when Jesus met with them, he went from Genesis through Malachi, pointing out the necessity of why the promised Messiah had to come to suffer and die for the sins of the world. And as they were hearing this, things began to fall into place, it says, and their hearts burned within them. This is really what Christianity is all about. Christianity is not just about historical events like a creation or virgin birth or crucifixion or resurrection. You can do all you want to try and prove those are true, and that's fine. It's just that nobody will come to faith because you have proven those to be true. There are a lot of non-Christians who believe that there was a creator of the world, that there was a God who created the world. And you recall, even the devils and the Pharisees knew that Jesus rose from the dead. It didn't help them at all come to faith. So we need to understand that what brings a person to faith is not evidence of the history of what went on, but the truth of the promises connected to that history. And you can save yourself a lot of time, as did Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. He just simply shared the meaning of Isaiah to him in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit created faith. Okay, getting back to the email. When I read the words that Jesus spoke, he was telling people to follow the commandments and sin no more, to repent and believe the gospel. So it sounds like he's telling us to follow the law. But the words of Jesus that really stick with me is when he was asked, who can be saved? And he said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. C.F.W. Walther, in his many lectures on Friday evenings over a year and a half to the seminary students, began the lectures by saying that the Bible appears to be a book full of contradictions. And this email writer is pointing out that here Jesus is talking to us to follow the law, and then he says, with man, this is impossible. Why? Well, I mean, how many of you have been parents and you have children? Do you ever make up rules in the household? Like, be home for supper at time, do 2 hours of homework, turn off television at 9 o'clock so you get enough sleep. We have many, many rules. What parent says, when you obey these rules, you will become my child? Nobody should say that. We don't kick children out of the house when they don't obey the rules. The rules have nothing to do with whether or not that is your child. That is your child because he or she was either begotten or adopted. Then why have all these rules if you're telling them to follow them, but it doesn't make any difference as to whether or not they'll still remain your child? Because you want an orderly household. You want peace. The commandments are tremendous gifts from God that, when followed, bring peace and order and comfort and all the positive things in a family. But none of them are meant to give the child the impression, you will not be my child if you don't follow my rules. Why can't people understand that about the Ten Commandments? And by the way, in a household, you may have a child say, you know, I really love you, Mom and Dad. And then you can say, well, how come you didn't do what I had asked you to do before? And they'll be recognizing that you're saying, you know, if you really love me the way you say you do, then guess what? You never would disobey me. But the fact that you do disobey us shows your love isn't perfect. But let me tell you this, our love to you will never fade away. That's Christianity. So on the one hand, of course Jesus wants us to follow the law. I mean, what God would want us to murder somebody or steal from somebody or commit adultery or all these kinds of things? But then if you're asking the question, is this the way that I am saved and become a Christian? Then you remember Matthew 19, with man, this is impossible. And so with only God is it possible for you to be saved. That's why we do not have a God of justice in the sense that he'll give you what you deserve. You want that? A lot of times at a Lutheran worship service, you'll hear that we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. No, we have a God of mercy. He does not give us what we deserve. And we have a God of grace who gives us what we don't deserve. When Jesus applied that kind of attribute to tax collectors and also prostitutes, he forgave their sins. Heaven was their home. And what did Jesus receive for that mercy and grace? He received the crucifixion. Wow. You see, people don't like Christianity. And as you're going to hear tomorrow, the more secular our society gets, the more you are going to be persecuted as a Christian. Because many people are trying to get God out of the picture. Because when you have God in the picture, then you definitely have someone not only to pray to who can comfort you, but you also have someone who will never leave you nor forsake you, who has promises for you. The Christian cultural understanding is totally different than many in the secular world today. And we're going to point that out tomorrow even more when we speak with Wes Reimnitz about what is happening, particularly in Illinois, over a particular law that is being passed. This is really a time when parents need to make sure that their children are being brought up in the proper nurture and admonition of the Lord. Very, very important. And that's what we're going to be talking about on tomorrow's Law and Gospel with Wes Reimnitz. So, the fact of the matter is, baptism is really important because it provides us with not only the forgiveness of sins, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the first point we want to make. And finally, we want to say that when we're talking about Pentecost, this is a tremendous festival of the church year. And we pray that you'll take the opportunity to attend a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation, because those are the only ones that I can say you're going to hear the true word of God preached. Now, I'm not saying that Baptists or Roman Catholics or Presbyterians aren't believers, or that they're not going to say some good things about Pentecost, but if you believe in purgatory, then baptism loses some of its grandeur. If you don't believe that baptism is a way of bringing children into the faith, then Pentecost is going to have some silence in those sermons. It's really important. The two most important decisions you make: who do you marry? And number two, what congregation do you join? So when you move into a new area, don't just join the nearest church near you. Visit them. See what's being taught. And particularly in the Bible study. A lot of times sermons don't really give a clean indication as to the theology of a pastor, but Bible studies do. So we would encourage you to take a look at those. If you have any questions, you can either phone me on Open Mic Friday or email me at, and here's my email address, lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. I have other emails. We may keep them for Friday. Or when you phone, we may be trying to answer your questions even then. But right now, as we leave the Easter season, move into Pentecost, the Sunday after Pentecost is, of course, Trinity Sunday. And next week, we'll be talking more about the Athanasian Creed, a tremendous creed believed by mainline denominations, Lutheran, Roman Catholic, Orthodox, etc., and does a wonderful job in summarizing what we believe about Jesus the Christ. Also, we're at a point where we need to pay KFUO additionally for being on the air here. So if you have some funds that you're willing to send to us, listen carefully right after the program. It tells you how to make out the check and what address to send the check to. We certainly do appreciate that as we continue to be Long Gospel on AM 850 KFUO. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Long Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Long Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.